Your pew Bibles and open up to 1 Peter chapter 3. You'll find that on page 858. 1 Peter. We're going to read this chapter in its entirety. 1 Peter chapter 3. Beginning in verse 1. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. When they see the purity and reverence of your lives, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessings. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who's going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ died for our sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his word today. If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask that you would please open up once again to the book of 1 Peter chapter 3. The book of 1 Peter chapter 3. This morning, I'm going to ask you to do something that's a little different right now. But I would like to ask you, if you have family members who don't know the Lord, and you are concerned about their eternal souls, I'm going to ask you to stand right now. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, you see these who are standing here. Lord, they are acknowledging that there are family members that are not walking in faithful obedience to you. And Father, by this acknowledgement of standing, they're saying that they are concerned for those family members. And so, Lord, we're going to ask you to do something miraculous. We're going to ask you to speak to every family member that's being represented by someone standing here today. We're going to ask that you would speak to them so clearly that they would begin that search for a relationship with you that will bring them peace, that will bring them life, that will bring them hope. And so, Lord, we're going to ask you to break down all barriers. We're going to ask you to break down the barriers of age. We're going to ask you to break down the barriers of race. We're going to ask you to break down the barriers of gender. Father, whatever barriers that there might be, we're going to ask you to begin to, brick by brick, tear down the walls that keep these family members from you. And Lord, we're going to thank you for what you do in great and powerful ways. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. But you can see by those who have stood up that there are a vast number of individuals who don't know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. In this particular passage of Scripture, and I just kind of want to share with you briefly a little bit of vision that I have for Faith Evangelical Church for the year 2014. As you can see, our job is massive. With that many people who don't know the Lord, we've got a huge undertaking ahead of us. And in this coming year, we are going to begin to develop a discipleship program for the church that's going to have the opportunity to include each of you, if you're willing, if you feel led of the Lord. But we want to be able to have people trained and equipped to be able to do work of ministry so that we can positively impact our families for Christ. You know, as I was working on this week and really praying and working my way through, the Lord just kind of spoke to me, and he put his finger in my back. You know what that's like. God just kind of settles in on you, and he says, "Hey, I want you to listen to this, because maybe you've forgotten it." And he said this, "I love them more than you do." Wow. I love them more than you do. And folks, we need to always keep that perspective in mind. God loves our families more than we do. We think that it's impossible for anyone to love our families more than we do, but God does. And in that love, His desire is to have a family relationship with them where He is the one who's in authority and He is the one who's in charge of every aspect. But He wants to use you and I in the process of bringing these family members to faith. In between this morning and this evening, I'm going to be sharing with you 12 things that we are going to be able to do to help in the process of winning our families to Jesus Christ. And if we will take these simple principles and apply them and honestly follow them, we will see a great harvest in the year 2014. And that harvest will include some of your family members, some of my family members. So I'm going to ask you to prayerfully consider these principles and being able to use them in your life. Some of these things are so elementary, you're going to look at it and say, I've known that all of my life. Okay, but are you doing it? It's one thing to know. It's another thing to follow through. And so it's important that we really take seriously the lostness of our families. You can include their friends, neighbors, community people, people that you work with. You can consider people of all walks of life. And let's always remember that it's God's will that they come to know Him. Because it's not God's will that any should perish, but it's His will that all should come to repentance. And you and I play a huge part in their salvation. The very first thing I want to share with you is that in order for your family to come into a real relationship with Jesus Christ, you must live a faithful Christian life before them. You must live a faithful Christian life before them. I want you to notice something. In this chapter 3 of 1 Peter, you'll notice how Peter is beginning to bring about this idea that God is concerned about lost family members. And he deals with several things here. But he says this in verse 1. He says, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands. Now catch this. So that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. By the behavior of their wives. You see, it's vital that we live honorable Christian lives in front of our families who may not know Jesus. Of course, we want to live honorable Christian lives in front of those who do know Jesus too. But nonetheless, it is not, folks, our trying to force feed the scriptures to them that is going to win them to Jesus Christ. Bill Paul, stand up. Bill's a friend of mine, and the way I'm going to win him to the Lord is open wide. I'm going to jam this whole Bible right down your throat.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's not going to work, is it?
Not really.
All that's going to do is choke you.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Good job. By the way, I was afraid I was going to lose the Bible when he opened his mouth. No, I'm just teasing. But you see, some people get that idea that the more I preach to them, the quicker they'll find Jesus. No. Live before them honorable, submissive lives to the Lord, and you will have a great impact on your family members who are lost. You know what's going to turn them off? If you're a hypocrite. That's what's going to turn them off. If you're a hypocrite. If you're telling your family, you need Jesus, and then you're going around cursing, swearing. They don't need what you got. And they don't want what you got. or you're telling them, you need Jesus, and then criticizing other believers all the time. They don't need what you got. You're a hypocrite. And they don't want that. Our lost family members are looking for genuine Christians who live genuine faith in a world that is filled with hypocrisy. Live the Christian life faithfully and obediently before your family members. Secondly, and this kind of goes along with it, but it's this. Don't wear them out with words. Don't wear them out with words. I've talked with parents. I've talked with young people. I've talked with family members who are concerned about their families, and all they do is preach. It's all they do. Preach at the kids. You're going to die and go to hell unless you get things straightened out. Hell is a real place. Hell is a place to be avoided, but you'll not win people by preaching only hell. You will win people to Jesus Christ by living faithfully before them your life. There is a place for the preaching and the teaching of hell. I'm not denying that. And it's important, and the church can never forget it, because hell needs to be a place where people are warned about, because you don't want any of your family to go there. But you stand a better chance of winning them to Jesus by living faithfully before God. Don't wear them out with continually nagging. Continual nagging about their spiritual condition turns them off and makes them more rebellious. Don't do it. Third thing is, realize that you cannot save them. You cannot save them. I want you to understand this. It's the Lord who saves, not you. It's the Lord who saves, not me. It's the Lord who saves, not the church. It's the Lord who saves. And that's it. You cannot save your family. Someone once said this: a man persuaded against his will is of the same opinion still. Stop and think about that. You know that you can become so forceful in your speech that you will have people that will say, okay, I'm going to give in. I'll give my heart to the Lord. And they'll go through the prayer, and they'll go through everything that they feel that they need to go through. But when they walk out the door, they will have only done it to get you off their back. They'll have the same opinions of God they had before. I have seen this with people in hospital situations. I have seen it in several ways. I remember taking an evangelism class. Now I'll give you a different illustration. I'll give you one a little closer to home. Bowl on Wednesday nights. And there's a guy who's at the bowling alley quite often. And he likes to tip the bottle. You know what I mean when I say he likes to tip the bottle? Okay, he likes to tip the bottle. He knows that I'm a minister. And he'll come up to me every once in a while, and he'll say, hey, I saved 9 people this week. Drunk and a skunk. Hey, I saved 9 people this week. I saved 9 people this week. No, he didn't. Because he can't save. Only Jesus can save. And he is the type of an individual that people will tell him anything so that he'll go away. Do you know anybody like that? Yeah. And people will just tell him anything to get him go away. And I responded, made him a little angry. He doesn't speak to me very much anymore. But I made him a little angry the last time he came up to me and said that. And I told him, I don't believe you. He said, what do you mean you don't believe me? I said, I don't believe you. I don't know how you can walk out of that bar drunk, come over here and talk about your faith in the Lord. That's being a hypocrite. And you know it's being a hypocrite.
Well, the Lord drank.
Don't go there with me. Don't go there. Because it's not true. You see, folks, we need to realize that the Lord will flow through faithful servants of His. That's important. We have to be faithful every moment of every day. We have to be serving God with hearts that are open to Him, yielded to Him, and able to clearly communicate the Word of God to them. The old saying, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, is absolutely true. And if you really care about their souls, you'll love God and you'll be faithful to Him, whatever He asks, and you'll set aside your agenda to let God flow through you. Don't learn that lesson too old. Begin now to make the decision to honor God in everything that you're going to do. You'll see your lost family members coming to know Jesus Christ. But if you're going to lose your temper all the time, if you're going to talk about everybody behind their back, if you're going to do all of these things that are hypocritical, you're going to drive your family away. You're not going to win them to Christ. It's important we understand that. I'll tell you what, that's probably all the farther we're going to get this morning, this evening. We're going to pick up this message. And in the coming weeks, you're going to see a program opportunity that we're going to start here in this church that's going to give an opportunity for you to be equipped or for others to be equipped to help you in bringing your family to Jesus Christ. But you're going to have a part you're going to have to play. And so that needs to be remembered. Would you please stand? I'm going to ask you to take your hymnals and open up. I thought I had it open. Wrong hymnal. Open up to number 381. Open my eyes that I may see. This morning, perhaps you are thinking, you know what? I really haven't been living the life that I know is honoring God. And I know that that's not being effective in winning my family. So I'm going to ask you to step out of wherever you're at, come to this altar, give it over to Him. I'm not going to come and speak with you. No one else will. just time for you to spend some time with the Lord. And in spending that time with the Lord, you're just going to ask Him to open your eyes to how He wants you to be a better influence in your family's life. And that includes repenting of what you know to be wrong and giving it over to God. Just time with you and the Lord, nobody else. No one's going to bother you. And so, if God is speaking to you and saying, you know, just not been the witness I know I need to be, I invite you to come as we sing number 381. Our gracious Father, thank you for your love for us, and for the gentle way that you speak to our hearts. How in that still, small voice you reveal to us areas of our lives that needs to be brought in submission to you. Father, we thank you for this one who has come, and pray that you would meet her at her deepest point of need. Father, thank you for each and every individual who's within these walls today. Now, Lord, may you be glorified in everything that is to take place. Father, for our families, please help us to be open, honest, honorable believers before you and before them. Lord, knock off our rough edges and pattern us after your grace. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for your love for us, and ask that you would work through us your will. For it's in your glorious and holy and righteous name we pray. Amen.